before I get into the lesson this evening, I do have an announcement to make. This is the Sunday before the Wednesday we go to the nursing home at the Landmark, and we'll be having our service there at 2 o'clock, as we normally do the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month. Encourage you to take your Bibles and follow along as we have prepared a lesson from God's Word this evening. We're going to talk about something that gives us a positive outlook. You know, many times we want to talk about sin and error that is in the church today. But I want to talk about the Christian's hope tonight. And I want to encourage us to think about all the things that we have to hope in. I believe we have a strong hope, a blessed hope, a good hope, as the Bible would tell us, in a lot of things. And tonight's lesson will be an overview lesson about this. And this will be part one of part, be the second part next Sunday night. And I do encourage you to listen carefully as we begin this study. We think about what hope is. You know, we as children of God, we understand we have this hope that is the strong hope every child of God has. And as defined, hope is favorable and confident expectation. In other words, we expect, not just hope or wishful thinking or wishful dreaming. You and I who are children of God, we expect what the Bible says is true. And the promises that God has said for those who are faithful to God, we expect that to be true for us as children of God. And this kind of hope has to do with the unseen and the future things. Things that will take place in the future. As Romans 8, 24 and 25, as the brother read, says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope." In other words, if we see something, we can't hope for it and expect it in the future. But he goes on to say in this verse, "For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." And that describes our life as children of God, doesn't it? We patiently wait for the promises of God to be revealed. The things that God has for us prepared for those who love Him and serve Him. That's what we're talking about tonight. As the Christian's hope, and that's something we can take as a blessing from God, knowing that when God says something, we don't have to doubt whether it's true or not. And we're going to talk about that in the next lesson, how the promises of God play into this hope that we have. But what is hope? It goes on to describe this kind of hope we're talking about tonight as hope that is the happy anticipation of good. You know, if we have Christ in our lives, we can only anticipate that which is good in our lives. And so we have this hope that is a good hope rather than an evil or bad hope that the world may have because of a lack of Christ in their life. But what we'll talk about tonight, the main part of this lesson today, is talking about the things that the child of God hopes for. And I hope that each one of us are looking for these. As our life, if it draws to the end of our lives, our hope may get stronger. And hopefully that it does get stronger in the expectation, the anticipation of one day receiving what God has for us. But what is our hope built on? Just like the song we sung, our hope is built on Jesus Christ. As 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1 tells us in the New American Standard Bible, says, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope." You know, without Christ, we don't have a hope. But with Christ, there's hope for us. There is expectation for us as children of God. Just as we sung that song, brother sung a wonderful song for us. I asked him to sing this because it's what we're talking about tonight, isn't it? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Just like the words say, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground truly is sinking sand. What Christ done for us at the cross, His blood shed for us, all the things that He has done for us is the reason why He's the beginning of our hope and He is the end of our hope. It's because we trust in Christ. We hope. But all of our, you might say, all of our eggs in one basket It's in Christ that we put all of our life. It's like Paul would say, that I know whom I believed, and able to, God is able to deliver what He says. You and I know that is true. Christ is the one who has done so much for us when God gave His Son and died on the cross. But then we think about Christ. One of the things we hope that Christ will do is come back to this earth. Not to get on the earth and step foot on the earth, but His second coming to bring the saints back in the air to Him. You know, one of the problems with denominational error is the fact that sometimes people say, well, Christ is coming back to set up a kingdom at His second coming. But what does the Bible say? That's always the question we need to ask, is what does the Bible say about Christ's second coming? We understand when that promise first began was in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. What does the Bible say about Christ's second coming? Here the angels first pronounced this great coming back of Christ. In Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 9, down to verse 11. The Bible says, when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. Isn't that what we hope for? Is to Christ to come back. Do you have tonight an expectation of that? Do you anticipate one day? And I know we don't know that day, because the Bible gives us many evidence that Christ will come back as a thief in the night, 2 Peter 3 tells us. And that we do not know that day, but we do know it is coming. It is an appointment that we'll all keep, just as sure as death is, just as sure as the second coming. We will see Christ come back in the air for his saints. In Matthew 24, that's why He tells us to be ready for that time. In Matthew 24, now He did talk about some things concerning destruction of Jerusalem, but He also talked about, as the question was, the end of the time, or the end of the age, or the end of time. But here in Matthew 24, verse 42, and this is talking about you and I who need to watch and be ready. This applies to us in this sense. We've got to watch. Verse 42 says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a wise and faithful servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over the household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. You know, we don't know when Christ is coming again. That's why we've got to be ready every day of the week. Not just on Sunday or Wednesday night, but every day of the week. We anticipate it could come Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. We don't know that time. But He says here in verse 47, verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Now what's he talking about here? Somebody says, well, Christ is not coming back, or delaying his coming. Verse 49 says, and he shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. And he shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus is talking about the fact that we need to think about it. We're always to be ready, anticipating. You know, the moment we stop anticipating is when we start to misbehave, to not act like a child of God. You know, without a hope of Christ coming again, we're going to act the way we want to. We're going to live the way we want to. But that's not the way God calls us to. He calls us to a hope that His Son will come back one time. And that day, we don't know the day and the hour, but we know it is sure. In Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, He refers to the wise and foolish virgins there. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to the 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of our oil, for our lamps are gone out." How sad it is if children of God are caught off guard, that we're not living the kind of life God wants us to live. A life that is not pleasing to God. But here, there's some that were ready when Christ came, or when the bridegroom came. We're to apply that today, that we're going to be ready for this time. That is our hope, to be ready. Like the song sings, is our lamps all trimmed and bright? We have oil for our lamps. And can we say, like Revelation 22, verse 20? Now, I believe this is one of the last verses in the book of Revelation. But it's an important verse because it says, "He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." Can we say that today? Now, I believe that only the righteous, the ones who are striving to their best of their ability to stay out of sin, can say, "Even so, Lord, come quickly." Or, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." You know, we want Christ to come because that's our hope, isn't it? That's what we're expecting. But you know what? The world doesn't want Christ to come. They will say, "Lord, give us more time to live the way we want to, rather than the way we should live for the Lord Jesus Christ." So therefore, we've got to live with this anticipation that the Lord could come. That's why we've got to be ready for that time to come. We also hope, when Christ comes, for salvation. Somebody says, "Well, don't we have salvation already?" We do have that in some sense, salvation from our sins. But what about, like Noah, salvation from this cruel and wicked world and going to heaven? All that salvation that comes when Christ comes back to this world, comes back to the air, rather. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 8 to 10, here Paul says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation." That's something we wear as children of God. The hope of salvation. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we be wake or sleep, we should live together with Him." You know, that's the real salvation. We think about salvation in two senses. One is, for now, we're saved from our sins. But one day, like the children of Israel, they were saved from Egypt, but they were going to the promised land. And that is our hope, isn't it? Is to have the salvation with Christ. Be there. Salvation from all the pain and suffering and wickedness and temptation that goes on in this world today. We have that kind of salvation. We are fully appreciate the salvation that Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Here, Paul talks about to the Gentiles. He says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Now he's talking about the salvation from sin. We know that all of us who are children of God, by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, are in Christ. And we're no longer like the Gentiles here, who before that time, they had no hope. They had no God as their Father. And that's a sad condition, but you know, as we today, we're in that same condition that the Gentiles were when we were without Christ. You know, to truly have no hope is to be without God, is to be without this salvation from our sins, to having the bad conscience for our sins day after day and week after week with no salvation from that. You know, it's true Christ went to the cross so we could be free from our sins, saved from our sins. And I believe it's like this. We needed that salvation more than anything else. We needed the pardon, like a man on death row who was sentenced to death. All of us were condemned. All of us needed salvation. But then who came? Christ came and pardoned our sins. by His blood, by the conditions of the salvation we just talked about. You know, that pardon is not without conditions. The conditions that of faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. All of that is what Christ required of us. But still, we're saved by grace. I'm not afraid to look at Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 and say, you know, I'm saved by grace. It's by faith. The system of faith, as Brother Ward talked about this morning. It's all that that we do that it shows our faith. By obedience, the obedience of faith, as Paul said. All of that shows the salvation we have through and by Jesus Christ. Then also we hope for the resurrection, don't we? That takes place also when Christ comes. That's a future time. A time that we're not seeing presently, but is a future time that awaits us. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 17 to 19, he says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." Now he likens sleep to death, or death to sleep rather. And now, that's talking about you and I today. If we die, what is our hope? We leave this world in death and are planted into the ground. What is our hope? Is it not to be raised? Is death the end of us? Is the grave the end of us? Verse 19 says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." In other words, if I have this while I'm living and breathing, I have Christ as my hope. Then when I die, I lose that hope. Then like Paul said, we're all men most miserable. But I believe our hope is a living hope in the resurrection from the dead. In John chapter 11, I believe the Bible would confirm this. In John chapter 11, the Bible tells us about Lazarus and how Lazarus was sick and died. And Mary and Martha was there and he came to comfort them. But he also came for another purpose. To prove he was the Son of God and to raise Lazarus from the dead. The Bible tells us in verse 20 of John chapter 11. The Bible says, "And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been there, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again." Isn't that comforting words? Just like Jesus said, that all of us will. Verse 24, "Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" You know what Jesus is saying is, we all have to only die physically in this life. All of us do that. But the child of God will never die spiritually. If he believes and obeys what God says, like Jesus said about his sheep, they follow him and he gives them eternal life. All of us know that resurrection time is coming. And we know, just like Lazarus was called by the voice of Jesus to come out of that grave, just as sure as Lazarus did that, you and I can be called by the voice of the very Son of God Himself. In John 5:28, Jesus said, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice," just like Lazarus did, "and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." All of that's talking about the two resurrections, you might say. Those who have their trust in God, who have a hope that is good unto the resurrection of life, but also those who have no hope. They'll be raised at the same time. One will have a good outcome, the other not the kind of outcome that they'd want to see. So that's why we've got to put our hope and our trust in Christ. But I'll think about also in the Gospel of Matthew, but how Jesus Matthew talked about some who did not have a hope in the resurrection. And I really can scarcely think that, like Matthew 22, verse 23 says, "The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection." We'll talk more about this later in another lesson. But what about this idea? Some would say, these are religious people. saying there will not be a resurrection. That's sad that people don't have hope. I would hate to have been a Sadducee during that time believing something like that, because what happens after death? You'd have no hope, no resurrection. That's how Christ is going to save us, by the resurrection from the dead. That's why some that Paul talked about, Hymenaeus and Philetus, how damaging it was to the truth when some had taught, they had taught, that the resurrection had passed already and had overthrown the faith of some. Why was that their faith overthrown? Because they lost their hope. When you lose your faith, only because you lose your hope, which is connected to that faith. We'll talk about that more in the next lesson. We'll also talk about eternal life, if you will. We said this is an overview lesson. Eternal life. Do we have this now, or is it a future time? This is something we look forward to. Titus 1 and verse 2 tells us it's a future thing. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before time began, for the world began. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? Eternal life. Titus 3 verse 7 says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's again saying it's a promise, it's a hope that you and I have. The question is, when does eternal life begin? Turn over to Matthew chapter 19, if you will. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus had just talked to the rich young ruler, and the rich young ruler turned away because he had great possessions, and he wasn't willing to make the sacrifice to have eternal life that he once thought he was going to make. Jesus said he'd go out and sell all he had and give to the poor. Then Peter comes along and says, well, Lord, we've left all and followed you. Verse 27 says, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100, and shall inherit everlasting life. What's he saying? When is that time? In the time to come, isn't it? Shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life in the time to come. All of us know that's a future time. That's a time that's not presently now. Then also we hope for glory. As children of God, the Bible tells us, Colossians 1 verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is this, the idea of glory for the children of God today? You know, we don't receive glory from the world today. The world does not pat us on the back and say, congratulations, you're a child of God. But the world despises children of God, does not give the respect to children of God, and even hates children of God. As John 15 said, you marvel not that the world hates you. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, isn't that what we're talking about tonight? Christ is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. There's the time the children of God looks to expect glory, is with our Lord. We certainly don't receive glory in this life today, but it's when Christ comes. That's why the Bible tells us to be a humble child of God. That's why the Bible tells us, blessed are the poor in spirit, as James 4 verse 10 tells us, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. It's not the world that lifts us up, but Christ will. When Christ comes in glory, we shall be like Him. And finally, we're going to talk about heaven. And I believe that is the most important hope that we have as children of God. I believe that's what gets us through the times of suffering we have in this life, is that hope of one day leaving this low land of sickness and sorrow, death and decay, and temptations and all that comes from the devil. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, here Paul was speaking to Colossians. Says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." Notice where that is, that hope is. In heaven. "Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth." What's Paul saying here? He's saying the gospel is what gives us the hope of going to heaven one day. Without the gospel, we have no hope. Without obedience to that very gospel, we would be in our sins. We're on our way to what we call torment, as the Bible would tell us, that those who are condemned in sin. But you know, you and I, who are children of God, we can say we have this hope, don't we? You know, one of my worst pet peeves is those who try to take away the hope of heaven. Those who come knocking on our doors and say, you know, this hope is only for the 144,000, which you're not a part of. But hope for you and I is not here on earth, but it's in heaven. Just like what Paul said to the Colossians here. "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." Just like Philippians 3 verse 20 tells us, "For our citizenship is in heaven." That's where our hope is, isn't it? It's where our treasures are. Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 21 talk about. And so we are to have this hope of going to heaven. And as Peter, the last verse of the lesson tonight, Peter talks about this hope, doesn't he? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." That's where it is, isn't it? Here, things on this earth are corruptible, but things that be of heaven are incorruptible. They will not fade away. Heaven will be like that for all eternity. Don't you want to go there? I believe the Bible tells us if we obey the gospel, we can be there. That we can step our foot into that place. And I don't know what heaven's going to be like. And I don't believe the Bible gives us all the description of what heaven's going to be like. But if it is better than what this earth is, because there's times this earth has some beautiful things. The creation of God is beautiful. But it's only been corrupted by sin and what man has done to it. But God's creation is so much better than what we have here on this earth. And I believe it will be. That's what I'm longing for, isn't it? What you're longing for tonight. You're subject to God's invitation call this evening. The Bible tells us how to begin that hope. It's by faith that we begin this. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's possible to have that kind of hope that pleases God. That reward He talks about there is only for those who put their trust and hope in Him. They repent of their sins, Acts 17, verse 30. Confess Christ to be the Son of God, and are immersed in water for the very forgiveness of their sins. And that's the person who has hope, has joy in their life. If you're here and you're subject to God's invitation call, why don't you come as together we stand and sing.